This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast dedicated to keeping you in touch with many of today's most important issues and examining how those issues directly affect our traditional values. And now, here is author and constitutional lawyer, Phyllis Schlafly.
A six-year-old boy recently got into trouble for bringing a small toy gun on his school bus. The toy gun was plastic and was not much bigger than a quarter. Yet the bus driver claimed that the tiny toy created a disturbance and traumatized the other children. Because of the school's zero-tolerance policy, the student was assigned detention and forced to write a letter apologizing to the bus driver. The school even considered revoking the six-year-old's bus riding privileges. Now, it's ridiculous to punish a kindergarten student for carrying a small plastic toy. The toy gun did not endanger anybody, and no one could possibly have mistaken it for a real gun. Sending the boy to detention did not make anybody safer. Instead, it sent a message that the school will punish small children even though they did nothing wrong. Taxpayer dollars should not pay school officials to bully kindergarten students. Punishing students based on the shape of their small plastic toys is really outrageous. But the overreach of school officials does not end there. Earlier this year, a seven-year-old student was suspended from school for 2 days because of the shape of the strawberry tart he was eating. The boy had nibbled away at parts of the pastry, and school officials thought it then resembled a gun. The boy said he did not intend to shape the pastry into the form of a gun. Nevertheless, an assistant principal sent a letter to parents offering counseling to students who may have been traumatized by the pastry in the shape of a gun. In another recent case, a student was suspended for displaying a picture of a gun on his computer. Will school administrators soon ban illustrations of guns in history textbooks? Will they prohibit the word gun? Taxpayer-funded schools should use common sense and stop censoring children.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Parents, it's important for the sake of your kids that you keep up with the latest trends in education. That's why we publish the Education Reporter. Write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002 for your free copy. That's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Or go online to eagleforum.org. And join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. Frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Putting a focus on the intellectual lenses of the trivia method of critical thinking, voluntary communication, the non-aggression principle, as well as other lenses, so as to create internal and interpersonal, emotional and intellectual equilibrium, if I can speak, geez, that's a mouthful. Daryl Becker is our guest this hour, who runs the blog Voluntary Visions, which puts focus on the intellectual topics that we just mentioned before. Don't worry, folks. Don't let that scare you. This is very fascinating and very relevant and applicable to much of what we deal with here on this show. It's going to be used as a tool that all of our listeners should benefit from greatly. He'll discuss the skills of the trivia method, which we've talked about a million times here on the show. But he's going to bring in a very interesting synergy here, if I may call it that, with voluntary communication or nonviolent communication. And we'll break it down for you. I won't waste any more time introducing it. We'll get right into it with Daryl Becker, who now joins us on the Bob Tuscan Show. Daryl, how are you?
Hey, Bob. Doing great.
All right, so perhaps we should start. I mentioned, you know, the basics about the trivium last hour, but should we start with the trivium or should we start with nonviolent communication? How do you want to do this?
I always recommend people start with the trivium. I'm actually pretty pleased that there's a nice sized chunk of the Bob Tuscan Radio Show audience who is already pretty practically familiar with at least some aspects of the trivium. At the very least, a bunch of the listeners are probably familiar with the informal logical fallacies, which is part two of the trivium. And I think this is a very important place to start. So, I'd be happy to jump right on into that.
Yeah, let's break it down for them. Okay, so it's important that people look at this in this order, the trivium in this order: grammar, logic, and rhetoric. And the reason why you start with grammar is?
Well, we need to identify things. We start with what's there. In fact, I would just say this much. This is automatically built into every child that I've ever met, and I am a parent. It's built into, as far as I can tell, most mammals. It would be pretty much the operating system that is running instantly until or unless it is broken. And that can happen with traumatic conditioning. So,
AKA school.
That's one form of traumatic conditioning.
TV, all the other ones.
There's another one. There unfortunately are a myriad of traumas that can afflict people, and that's just damage. So we're starting off with grammar, which is also known as knowledge. It's answering who, what, where, and when. And it's just basically giving names to things. And it's identifying the who, what, where, and when. It's the constant research work that we all do on the side before we jump into the radio show. I mean, as a guest or before we actually make a podcast or make a show, we actually have to do some research. We actually have to do effort to look up these things and to verify if we have our information correct. So that's grammar in a nutshell. It's the knowledge. It answers who, what, where, and when. And that second step is logic or understanding. It answers why, also known as non-contradictory identification. So we've got one word for one term. It's just basically taking the confusion out of things. You have a list of the informal logical fallacies. Everyone out there, I'm sure you have a computer. You can just Google 42 fallacies, and you will see a nice little article. It's not too long. It's just not too big of a PDF. And it'll give you the gist of your major flags that you should keep in your mind while you're reading or when you're listening to people or when you open your mouth or just before you're about to type. You can have all of those things flagged to remove contradiction. To give you an example, so if I take something from someone, that is called theft. And if I happen to have a shiny badge and a costume on, well, it still is called theft. The euphemism that is commonly employed is called taxes. So that is essentially making a contradiction. So in one instance, the thing is called theft, and in another instance, someone else is calling it taxes. And in one instance, it's considered immoral or seriously unpreferable, less preferable. And the other instance, there's this, well, it's just for the common good, an abstraction. So also another aspect of logic is you identify abstractions. You are identifying things that are definitely problematic. You're identifying things, whether they're within the realm of the tangible, measurable, and when they're in the realm of the abstract. And then we've got the last part of the trivium. See how fast this goes? It's really easy. The final part, which is known as rhetoric, is also known as wisdom. It's the practical applications of your knowledge and understanding. It definitely gives you the how, answers how, and it is essentially all of what we just did, who, what, where, when, why, and then giving a nice practical application of that. If it's practical, like if what I just explained is completely understandable to you, the listener, then in that case, that was wisdom that I transmitted. If you could not follow me, then for you, this is not wisdom. So that's the trivium in a nutshell. I can go really quick right through that. But there's one more thing to it, which is known as the rhetorical triangle. This is a tactical application of what's going on in terms of your words or in terms of someone else's words. So right now, I'm going to build you a triangle, a rhetorical triangle.
Okay, not
so
the one on the dollar words. Bill, of course.
That would be more of a pyramid, but here in this instance, it's merely a triangle, right. And it is equilateral. So this is not the Pythagorean triangle.
I remember what that means. That means all sides are equal, right?
Sides are equal.
I learned something in public schooling.
You learn many things, my friend.
Wow.
So here's the deal. But you learned a lot more with, you know, time outside of that.
That's true.
So, here's the deal. The rhetorical triangle, to build it for you, my words are, I am basically me. I myself, I'm at this part of the triangle, whichever part you want to pick, I am the author. And the next step, my words are the message. And the final corner of this triangle is the audience. That's you, Bob, and everyone else listening. So I know you a little bit, Bob, and I can just sort of imagine who would be an audience who would listen and take value from your show regularly, you know, besides various clandestine agents who are keeping track of you.
Yeah, they definitely listen.
But besides those people, there's the other actual people who are just spending time listening. So I can imagine who that is. I'm tailoring my message as the author to my audience. I'm aware of the rhetorical triangle. We're going to have to use this when we get into voluntary communication,
I see.
Or also known as nonviolent communication.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at that because that's a perfect way to tease this. And we're going to come to the end of this segment in just a moment. Your website, just so I make sure I get that out one more time, is Voluntary... Let me fill in the blank here. Voluntary Visions. There we go. It wasn't in front of me.
I knew I meant Voluntary Visions at blogspot.com. It's just a blog right now. I'm going to be doing other projects. I didn't need to pay for a site as of yet, but that's where I'm dropping most of the type of information.
Awesome. And there's plenty of stuff you can find. You've done a few YouTubes. I was looking at your YouTubes, and you've had conversations with all different great thinkers. You were on Nathan Fraser's show and lots of good stuff. And we're going to break down the connection here from the Trivium to nonviolent communication. Folks, if this seems boring, well, you got to stick around because it really is applicable and something that you can use in your everyday life.
The Bob Tuscan Show.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free, at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Through their ministries of propaganda, each took complete control of the theater, the movies, the radio, every cultural activity and every channel of information.
Well, times is tough, all right. Yeah, I'll say.
It's the future.
All right, welcome back to the Bob Tuscan Show. We have Daryl Becker, who's our guest. And Daryl, we are going to transition from the equilateral triangle of the trivium to nonviolent communication. So what is nonviolent communication? Let's identify the term.
Yeah. So basically in 1972, Marshall Rosenberg, he was a student of the works of Carl Rogers, basically simplified a bunch of Carl Rogers' work. He made a very clever and useful connection between what people are emotionally feeling and certain abstract values and desires and physiological needs that they have. Meaning that it's not just like observations happen, your five senses and thoughts are happening, and then you have feelings and who the hell knows where they come from. It's more than that. It's actually coming from these abstractions, values and desires that were formed either long ago or relatively more recently, or somewhere in between. And that was in 72. And by 1992, he had it formed into this special OFNR called Observations, Feelings, Needs, which refers to the values and desires going on inside of a person. Those are abstractions. And requests. Those are actions. They are tangible. So it's going from this tangible side that's not abstract. That's the observations, basically all your five senses, plus any thoughts that you could put into words. And then it goes over to the abstract side, emotions, which is what you'd notice next. And these apparently are being caused by abstractions again, the values, the desires, and physiological needs that are going on. Now it goes back to the tangible side of actually making a request or taking some type of action. This also could be making a very potential action called a plan, a strategy, as it were. So even the act of making a plan that you could put into words, that's taking action. So this was the format, observations, feelings, and in quotes, needs, and then requests or actions. OFNR, that was the main format. And that's basically about one little part of this system, which he called nonviolent communication. Now, honestly, the words nonviolent communication with the word violent in there, a bunch of my friends, you know, Richard Grove over at Tragedy and Hope, Brett Vinat over at the SchoolSucksProject.com, Richard Grove is at TragedyandHope.com. These fine people had the very clever and good idea of, let's just rebrand this with a whole new word and call it voluntary communication. And I agree, it's time to move on from that. So that's one little part of it. The other part is called the four D's of disconnect communication or life alienating communication. And that's pretty important. The four D's are
hold on
a filter.
Here, Daryl. Hold on one yep. second. Do you guys have a crayon out? Are you taking notes?
Yeah, I'm taking notes.
Okay.
In fact, I got this down. Like I'm basically saying it from the top of my head because I've done this kind of interview many, many times.
Oh, I'm sure you are, but I'm talking to the listener. I hope they're taking notes here because,
you know, maybe for them to have a reason to take notes might help too.
There's
a purpose for all of this. Why am I doing this? And I'll get back to what the four D's of life alienating communication are.
Yeah, I'm
in
excited
a moment.
To hear that, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's pretty important, but here it is. The purpose was this. Bob, just like you, I saw that there's some major problems for many people. And what were the biggest problems that I identified were, for the most part, in their personal lives. Problems that they would have with family members trying to communicate
sure.
a very important and weighty subject matter, evidence that they might have uncovered, troubling speculations.
And as much as there is a crazy Federal Reserve system and evil psychopaths, at the end of the day, the conflicts we face most intimately are those in our personal life. That makes a lot of sense. That really resonates with me.
Right. So that's the biggest thing. Basically, I got a big essay that I plan to send to you, Bob. It's not that big, I mean, for some people, 17 pages. But essentially, the gist of it is that we have isolated some of these problems, and they happen to occur within our spheres of influence. So when it comes to what is actually influenced by our lives, that's starting with us. That's the person we have the most influence over is ourselves. We are standing here or sitting here, we have the potential to be an adult, to take 100% responsibility, meaning the ability to respond to everything, We have the possibility of doing that. That's what an adult does. A child, unfortunately, is in the situation where they're learning to do this, and they abdicate or give that up to an adult who's caring for them. And this, of course, works for anyone who would give the power of response over to someone else. So this is very important to keep in mind. So in our spheres of influence, what we have around us is the next level. Our family, our close friends, we have an influence over them. So the sphere is going outward, and we have less influence over them than we do over ourselves. And then it goes further to our colleagues, such as you, Bob. You're a colleague of mine, you know, making media out there that is promoting what I would consider very beneficial concepts and ideas. And then further from that, we've got various people who are absolutely considerably further away until you get to the most far away people in the military-industrial complex. We have very little actual effect on most of their lives. Very little. And, you know, it gets further and further away. So you can see that as you get further distance away in these abstractions of the spheres of influence, there's less influence that we have over them. And so that major influence, the biggest problems in people's lives, people complaining about someone at their work, people or, you know, in the educational venue that they live in as well, people having issues with their intimate partner. They have difficulty in communicating. These are the most important ideas that I have, the most important conflict zones. So we got four Ds. How much time do I have before this next break?
We have here? 4 minutes.
4 minutes. Okay. The first D, making a demand. That is, of course, I would say, you know, just basically making it so that you're definitely making a command or a demand of someone else, or unfortunately of yourself.
Okay, I'm not going to make a demand here, but please take your time if you have to, you know, take your time. No need to rush. We can flesh this out.
Okay, yeah, we're gonna touch on them in examples, but I'm pretty much I'm going to give you what it is as a tactic, right? If I make a demand of you, Bob, you know, like that, you know, basically go to a non-commercial network, please, or go to a non-commercial network or else, that's making a demand. If I made a request of you, that's different. And by the way, I'm not saying, you know, give up your awesome gig with Republic Broadcasting. That's an awesome gig that you've got. But that would be an example of a demand. Essentially, to translate it, it's just a tragic way of making a request. It doesn't really add to a sense of respect and understanding if I'm stating it in such a way as I'm not giving you any room to take it or leave it.
I feel like sometimes you can make a request and it's confused as a demand.
Absolutely. And this is the aspect of the confusion that we see around us with the problems in communicating. They take the request and they interpret it as a demand, and the defenses come up. They look to fight or run away, flight or freeze. Just the freezing up part, the three F's essentially, that type
of
reaction.
Well, the bumper music is demanding that we take a break, Daryl.
Okay, we'll get to the other D's in a moment.
All right. I got a lot of D's in school, by the way, but that's different. Folks, we'll be right back.
The Bob Justin Show. Our infrastructure is failing, and our government is corrupt. We have some hard times ahead. If there was no way to get medical help, what would you do? How are you going to protect the safety of your family during a crisis when there are no doctors, hospitals, emergency services, or supplies? Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a nano-engineered silver unlike any other silver product on the market today. This technology has advanced antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal properties. And more than 200 independent clinical studies and trials have shown that it's effective in over 500 different uses. Supernatural Silver can be stockpiled and stored for over 10 years. And in a collapse, it could be priceless. It can be used daily to fight off colds, flus, and other pathogens, and yet it's powerful enough to combat some of the most deadly diseases in the world today. Make sure your home is well stocked with Supernatural Silver. To order, go to supernaturalsilver.com. That's supernaturalsilver.com. Use the promo code SILVER2013 for 20% off, and like us on Facebook.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website
by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is Don Wiskin. I had a massive heart attack at 42. The doctors could do nothing but send me home with disability as my future. I reversed the damage done to my heart with a natural remedy. I am now 58 and contribute my good health today to Extendovite. You have heard my messages for many years. A lot of people have taken Extendovite and improved their health issues. We are surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and chemicals that our body cannot eliminate. As we age, they can age us faster. Clean yourself out with Extendovite, available in capsule or liquid form. Get a 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. You can live a longer, healthier life just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
It's no secret that Big Brother is spying on your web activity. VPNForAll.com protects your internet from tyranny with military-grade encryption. VPNForAll keep no records of your browsing, so you leave no trace. VPNForAll are in Holland, free from the NSA and police state jurisdiction. Easy to sign up and use. It stops all data mining. Go to VPNForAll.com immediately and stay safe. That's VPN, the number 4, all.com.
Seems the louder we're singing, the less they're hearing. Babylon got them so mindless they can't see Armageddon is nearing. I try to shake them, to wake them, but they say they'd rather be sleeping. So don't be surprised if my eyes can't disguise that inside me my spirit is weeping.
On Tuscan Show, we're talking with Daryl Becker about a fascinating conversation in regards to the Trivium and nonviolent communication, or as they've coined the term, voluntary communication. And we've been talking about the four D's, the first of which is making a demand. Again, what are the four D's, just for those who are just tuning in? Can you explain and recap what they are, and then we'll get into the others?
Sure. They are making demands, making unrequested diagnoses, that's giving labels, speaking in deserve-oriented language, and the ultimate denial of responsibility. So, yeah, I'm ready to definitely flesh out unrequested diagnoses.
And, these four Ds are a part of voluntary communication, correct?
The identification of them is the skillful use of voluntary communication. The use of them is the standard thing called life-alienating communication.
I got you. So it's the opposite of voluntary communication. It's what exactly you avoid in order to communicate properly.
Right, right. So essentially, like between you and me, we're, you know, this is the first time I think we're like audio talking to each other in this capacity. And there we go. You know, we're building this invisible little bridge between us. The bridge of empathy is what I call it. And it's very subjective. There's no respectometer that's going on. But, you know, we get a general gist of it between tone of voice and, if I could see in the video, you know, body language, facial expression, and choice of words. And all of that gives away, to some degree, a level of respect going on. The use of the 4Ds is a way to create a barrier on your bridge of empathy, basically like a brick wall between you and another person. So, yeah, essentially breaking it into the unrequested diagnoses, this is delivering a label or an adjective or some type of diagnosis that the other person did not ask for. And here's the other kicker. This diagnosis, it does not have an effective treatment plan attached to it. Now, just for disclosure, I am a licensed acupuncturist. I actually am a teacher of acupuncture. I work at the Hawaii College of Oriental Medicine. And by the way, I'm in Hawaii, just to another disclosure. So I'm over speaking in your past over here, 5 hours in your past, if you're on the East Coast, and 2 hours if you're on the West Coast. So, yeah, basically what I'm trying to say is, between us all, we're all individuals. None of us are the Borg, the characters in Star Trek. We're all separate, and we're essentially like islands. So to communicate, it's like making a bridge from one person to the other person. To essentially make that difficult, all you have to do is use these 4Ds. That will make communication very difficult because the respect will be diminished or removed. So giving an unrequested diagnosis is one thing. To translate it as what the person is doing when they're giving you a label, Bob, you conspiracy theorist. See, I just gave you a label, an unrequested diagnosis.
Actually, I'm a tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorist. Get it right.
Yeah, okay. So in that full diagnosis, you can see that there was an objective for that, and the objective is called understanding. So the person who uses that method to give you a label or unrequested diagnosis, they are attempting to understand. They want to put you in a box and put themselves in a box. They put everything in boxes. And just like a little child, they're just speaking their mind. The evaluation is very important to understand. But to speak your mind about every little thing that's going on is the act of a child, unfortunately. So what I'm aiming for is more adults, basically, where you can keep your diagnosis to yourself until someone pays you for it or asks for it or in some way is requesting it. And the other part, too, if you don't have an effective treatment plan that is connected to this diagnosis, and I do mean effective and helpful, then really, it's really best to definitely keep that diagnosis to yourself.
All right, well, I got to work on this one, okay?
Well, you're not alone in this.
And I mean, I can see how this could create a barrier, how this could create conflict and get in the way of healthy communication. But at the same time, part of me, I just want to tell people sometimes when they're full of it, or tell people when they need to be careful of something. I mean, that's, in some regards, that's what I do on the show.
Yeah, and when you want to essentially give advice, like, hey, I noticed this, please be careful, as long as they're open to hearing the advice, that works great. But I'm sure that you've certainly noticed, if you give someone a label, there's probably a diminished amount of respect going on unless they actually find that that label bounces right off of you.
For example, if I can do this without a label, is what you're saying?
What I'm actually saying is this. It's an unrequested diagnosis. You can do this in your own mind for your own purposes of clarity and understanding, but beware of the hasty generalization fallacy. Remember our informal logical fallacies? Yeah, those are there to protect you. So that's really important right there. So basically, we're keeping these things in mind, right? There's a purpose to these things. I'm not saying stop evaluating. I'm not saying stop trying to understand. I'm trying to say, please be careful with your words. Notice the effect of them. If you give someone a label, I bet you're going to actually take notice that there's going to be a diminished amount of respect, usually. And I'm not saying every single time. I can say this, though. There'll be people like me, I will explicitly say, I'm okay with you delivering a label because I can interpret and translate that inside of myself. I don't even have to mention while it's going on. I'm trained for this. I know what to do. I might find it uncomfortable, but just for a moment, you know, if you call me some name, if For example, if you try to impugn the specific science that I'm trained in, Oriental medicine, specifically, you know, the holistic medical arts, I could understand that someone would have some opinion and they could put me in a box, give me a label. I could interpret that as they have some specific thing going on in them. I identify what is their motive, what's their value or desire. And usually that's understanding. You see,
right.
This is an intangible. I identify the intangible element that they're after, what they value and desire. I also identify the strategy of action or if they're trying to make a request of me. So
let me ask you this, though. Sorry to interrupt, but let me ask you this, though. I mean, does it go both ways? Should you not make negative labels and diagnosis? What was the word you used?
The unrequested diagnoses.
Yeah.
Diagnoses is plural of diagnosis.
Right. Yeah. Should you not make negative and positive? Should you avoid both?
I was trying to say, please continue silently in your head like an adult to make your evaluations if you wish to put people in boxes, but please beware of the hasty generalization. Everyone's an individual. Sure. So there are no absolutes when it comes to certain things. Calling someone a psychopath, I find, is not useful, even in your own mind.
Calling them a genius, is that equally as unuseful?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. What you want to identify is usefulness. You want to identify what is the purpose of my communication at every moment. You want to identify how can this be used. So when I deliver a diagnosis for real, someone's paying me. And the reason they're paying me is because a treatment plan is attached to that diagnosis. And the reason they pay for all of that is because they are looking for a practical application. They want to get better. And that's what happens.
If somebody's about to cross the street and there's a car that's going to hit them.
Yeah.
That's a time in my eyes where you got to say something. You got to give them that diagnosis. You got to say, hey, if you walk into the street, you're going to get hit. Or, hey, a car's coming. You're about to get hit.
Notice that you're just saying an observation,
right.
And you're actually noticing you're not actually making any diagnosis at all in that sentence.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, and that's just great. You know, that's communicating. So that's what I'm looking for is more communication. And also, you know, some people there's freedom involved, right? There's people who want to be metaphorically hit by a certain car or bus, and that's their. This is their path to walk if you want to. You can try to stop them if you wish, if you see value in that. And I would see value in that with many people to try to help them. But also you could see value in allowing them their liberty, their freedom to do as they wish, to speak and think as they wish. And you try to communicate, but in the end of it all, that's what I'm looking for is because, you know, after I describe all of these methodologies, and there's only two more left, it just comes down to why am I saying all of this? And that's what I'm pretty excited to share with you. It looks like I'm going to have time for that. How close are we to the break now?
We're going to take another quick break and we'll pick it back up with these other two and finish any thoughts. Daryl, we can keep this going as long as we have to. I mean, we have the rest of this hour and then I have another hour to go. So you're welcome to stay on and really take our time with this. Folks, definitely check out his website. This is a great outline, but you really want to supplement your learning here with some of the writing and other interviews that he's done. And I'm certainly enjoying this. Stand by, folks. We'll be back in seconds.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com. to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
It's no secret that Big Brother is spying on your web activity. VPNForAll.com protects your internet from tyranny with military-grade encryption. VPNForAll keep no records of your browsing, so you leave no trace. VPNForAll are in Holland, free from the NSA and police state jurisdiction. Easy to sign up and use. It stops all data mining. Go to VPNForAll.com immediately and stay safe. That's VPN, the number 4, all.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
Woo, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
To their names can be added those of hundreds and thousands of others who stood in the way of the new order.
That's a great diagnosis.
Right now. Right now.
Isn't what example. We're
So what is the third D in our list of four Ds here?
That would be deserve-oriented language. This is the training that you get in various government schools. It's the aspect of extrinsic or external motivations, punishments, and rewards. You do such an awesome radio show, Bob, that you deserve a reward. You actually deserve free health care, and what the hell? You deserve all the food and shelter that all the people could possibly be taxed for.
Sweet.
Or you do a horrible show. You deserve punishments, basically. You know, I'm going to take it all away from you now. So essentially, it's just speaking in those terms of it's a extrinsic motivation. It's basically punishments and rewards. It's thinking in that way, and it's speaking in that way.
The carrot and stick approach?
carrot and stick. And so to translate that, essentially, it could be any of a number of different things in terms of what values and desires are being sought after. When someone uses this and it's coming at you, what it usually is, there's some level of possible understanding. There's some type of, often this could be a strategy to, like, to say these words, to think these things is a strategy to uphold the topsy-turvy world that might be existent in their mind. That, you know, people need to be coerced, they need to be punished and rewarded in order to have everything work the way they were told everything is supposed to work, essentially. So it's just what they're after is this method of understanding. They want to basically hear that they're being reaffirmed, like that type of thing. So that's just a methodology. And I'm looking like to essentially say each time I'm describing a D, I'm giving you the translator so that you could see what potentially could be going on behind a person who's using that tactic. And these are tactics, whether someone is using them instinctually or they're actually planning to use these. And then there's that final D, since I'm just going to go skip right to it. It's the denial of responsibility. And this is, of course, the ultimate abdication or giving up of where a person, you know, has the power as an adult to take control, to have a responsibility, to be able or have the ability to respond. So that's essentially, you know, you made me angry, so now I got to yell at you. It's all your fault. Nah, it's not my fault because you made me angry. See, so that essentially is just giving it up. It's acting as a child, a petulant one, if I could give a diagnosis to that child. It's basically not, you know, taking 100% responsibility as an adult would. An injured child would give up that responsibility and look for someone else to take it. The Milgram experiment, Stanley Milgram, a lot of their listeners will be familiar with that one. The people who were in that giving the increasing level of voltage shocks, and by the way, if you have access to a search engine, you could simply go to Wikipedia Milgram experiment, and this will pretty much fill you in on what I'm describing. What I'm saying is, you know, there are people who went through this experiment. They thought they were delivering shocks to people, but of course they were actors being paid to exhibit signs as if they were being shocked. And there was an authority figure in a lab coat who was directing them to deliver the shocks. They abdicated or gave up their responsibility. They denied their responsibility. It wasn't what they had to feel responsible for because they gave it up to someone else. So what that is, of course, is there's many translations of why someone would give up responsibility. Often it is that, what can I say, kind of childlike type motives, such as the desire for someone to take care of you, you know, for nurturing, for ease and efficiency. It's so much easier if someone else can do the work for you. Someone else could take the heat or think for you or show you what you're supposed to do or tell you what type of life you're supposed to live. It's really, it's understandable. You know, people do want ease and efficiency, of course. And it is the ultimate ease if someone else plans your whole everything for you. So that's how I would often translate that when it's coming at me.
I'm stuck on your characterization of the child, and I agree with it. And in the context that you've presented it in, I think it's accurate that we ought to avoid certain behaviors that you've categorized as childish. But is there a place for our inner child or having the curiosity and natural learning abilities? You did touch on that in the very beginning. Why don't you pick up on that point?
Yeah, what I'm often describing as childish is really more like traumatized child. So an intact child is already aiming to emulate intact adults. They're already taking full responsibility. They're already looking, instead of for deserve-oriented language, they're looking for practical application. They're already born with the trivium intact, essentially. So the aspects of being traumatized, of having stimulus and an emotion that they notice and a pre-programmed response, that is a traumatized individual. child was just, I think a quick terminology, traumatized child is just a quick way of viewing it. And mostly I'm looking to say, yeah, the child is in there. That the child is there inside of all of us. It will not die. It is still there. When, at what age is the adult born? That's the question. It could be at any point when they take 100% responsibility, whenever they essentially are looking to have full control of their intellectual with the trivium method and emotional with voluntary communication terrain. Their whole terrain can be controlled. See, what I'm seeking with all of this is equilibrium internally and then interpersonally. So, you know, if like someone is saying something in the chat, for example, giving me a diagnosis, I think you mentioned a-hole was a diagnosis I was given by someone. So, you know, I can see where, you know, what would possess someone for saying like that? Seems like Daryl thinks he knows it all, you know? There's always a lot of seems like, and I got the impression that, and all of that type of thing. But I didn't say I know it all, and I definitely have a long way to go in my own personal education. So essentially what I'm trying to say is the child internally in all of us is there. It's having feelings as a result of our values and desires, whether we know them or not. So anytime we take in observations, including our own thoughts, it's going through this filter called values and desires and needs. And that is what produces the emotions. And anyone who's had a very powerful psychedelic experience would instantly know that it changes your actual values and desires at that moment, and that changes your emotions. Anyone who's been through powerful experiences otherwise, too, it's not necessary to take biochemical agents to change your perceptions. This can be done with other practices. But mostly what I'm trying to say is that it's not the observations that cause the feelings. It's that the values, desires, and needs are essentially that our observations hit that as a filter, and that's what produces our feelings. So whenever, you know, I can give you an example. I wasn't sure that I was going to be totally, you know, on for this type of radio hangout with you. I didn't know if I was going to feel up to it because it was kind of a hard day. And so I had some fear of that. I was like noticing that I was, you know, kind of dragging throughout the whole day and it wasn't really solidly on. So those were my thoughts and I observed them. And my feeling was anxiety. That's what I noticed. Why was it anxiety? Because I have a value and a desire for clear communication to reach you, Bob, and your audience. That's my desire. And now I'm going to make a strategy, which for me included a cup of coffee. And so, and also taking some time out, some R&R. I went to the ocean. I did all that before all this show and seems to, from my perspective, seems to have helped. That was my strategy or my action. So in other words, I made a request of myself. I did all that myself. I didn't have to say this to another person. I didn't have to make a request of someone. I did this all silently in my head. I figured it all out. And that's, of course, what most people do anyway. But I just put a methodology on this. Observations on the tangible side. I notice my feelings. I trace it back to the desire. And then I make an action or strategy.
Gotcha. Now, next hour, we're going to continue this discussion. We're going to talk about ways to apply this to the general topics that we discuss on this show. Daryl Becker, our guest on the Bob Tuscan Show. Stay tuned. Lots to get to.
The Bob Tuscan Show. With financial